Okay, let's say this together. Say, in this service, my eyes are open to see. Say, my ears are opened to hear. Say, my heart is receptive to the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Say, there is no confusion in my heart, no disparity, no darkness. Rather, the eyes of my understanding are further enlightened and flooded with light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we've been taking a little bit of study around the church. Amen. Seeing quite a number of things. Praise the Lord. Okay, we began first of all by looking at the church of the living God. Remember that? Okay, and that served as a sort of general overview of the ecclesia. Okay, what exactly is the church of Christ? Okay, so you know we saw all of that in relation to Israel. Praise the Lord. Remember all of that? Like I like to say it, we zoomed in a bit, amen, you know, into why God gave local churches. Praise the Lord. Okay, still looking at the church, but much more particular in its local sense. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we completed that last week. Amen. I trust it blessed you. Amen. I trust you're starting to get a bit of focus now, right? Okay, as touching what exactly the local church is. Praise the Lord. Okay, so today what we want to do is we want to zoom in again. Praise the Lord. You know, to look a little bit deeper. Still looking at the church, okay, but now going just a little bit more deeper into this concept. Okay, so I want to look at concerning Christian meetings. Praise the Lord. Okay, Christian meetings. Okay, so why do we gather? Amen. Why do we have church or Christian meetings? You know, many people don't know. You know, if you're like me who grew up in a Christian home, you know, going to church was the norm, right? Going to church, you know, and those days, I remember they wake us up 5 a.m., amen, on Sunday, force you to bath, amen, or take your bath, okay, and, you know, give you 20 naira for offering. Say, make sure you don't use it to buy biscuits. Am I right? Aha. Okay, so, you know, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We just knew there was this house that we always went to every Sunday morning. Okay, we spend several hours there, then we come back home, amen. You know, when we get there, for some reason, everyone is much more holier than they are at home. Amen? Everyone is much more quiet, you see. Then, quickly after service is over, we resume our carnality. Praise the Lord. You know, so it was just something that, you know, folks just many folks just feel that, okay, our church is like that. You know, we just wake up on Sunday, you know, get ready, go to some place, you know, not really knowing what exactly we're doing. And you know, the thing is, if you're not careful, you can grow up that way. Do you know that? You can actually grow up that way. You know, just thinking that, well, I just go to church. Why exactly are you going to church? Because it's necessary for Christians to go to church. Amen? You know, so you now have folks who still go to church without knowing why exactly that is for, or what exactly that is for. Okay, so in this teaching, I want to explain Christian meetings. Praise the Lord. Why do we meet? How should we meet? And what should happen when we meet? Okay, so we'll find out, okay? Let me also say something to you that there is a special grace of God, okay, and gifting on the teachings that come out of this place. Do you follow that? Okay, whatever is taught in Dazu Church, okay, there is a special grace and gifting of God. I trust you know what grace means now, right? I've taught you the metron, right? Okay, so upon the teachings that go on in this place. Now, I'll tell you what exactly that is. Okay, now it's simple. Whatever is taught here, you begin to walk in. Do you follow that? So whatever we teach in this church, whoever hears God's word here, begins to walk in those things. Do you follow that? So whatever area you're struggling with as a Christian, you know, be it addictions, be it seeking God for healing, be it your finances, praise the Lord, be it the things of the Spirit, you know, whatever it is, once something is taught here and you listen to it, you begin to walk in it. Do you follow that? Okay, so it's very good for the congregation to know this, because most times, you know, folks don't know how to flow with the giftings of their pastor. Do you get it? Okay, so it's important I said to say that, okay, so you can know now. Do you follow that? And that is why I feel very bad for folks who take the teachings down here lightly. Okay, I feel very bad for them. You are shooting yourself in the leg. Do you follow that? Okay, so whatever is taught here, know that from today, okay? Whatever it is. Amen? How many of you have seen that so far? Okay, thank you. Okay, whatever it is. And that is why I don't just teach anything here. Do you follow that now? Because I know whatever I teach you, you begin to walk in it. Praise the Lord. Okay? And that is why I'm confident that this particular teaching, after it's done, will begin to walk in. You know, you see a change in our Christian meetings. Okay? Just watch. You see that. Say our Christian meetings will improve a lot. Amen? You just see some things will be done with much more ease than before. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I would like you to pay very close attention, okay, particularly to this series, okay? Everything that will be taught in this series, I would like you to pay very close attention. Now, we'll take our text from Hebrews 10, 24. Okay? Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. That will be our primary text for this particular teaching, okay, on Christian meetings. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Okay, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Underline that. Okay, it says, as is the manner of some. Underline that, the manner of some. But exhorting, underline that, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so we'll come back to this text shortly. Alright, now let's begin by asking a question. What is the church? Amen? What is the church? Now, if you've listened to the Church of Living God and why God gave local churches, you have a bit of an idea. Okay, so let's go just a little bit much more deeper. Amen? You see that Ephesians 5 provides insight into this question. Let's see that, okay? Ephesians 5:22. Please turn your Bible there. Ephesians 5:22. Okay, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, amen, as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, underline that, head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, underline that, okay? And he is the savior of the body. Underline that, savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, underline that, church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Jesus Christ also loved the church. Underline that, okay? And gave himself for her. Underline that, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, underline that, sanctify, and cleanse, underline cleanse, how? By the washing of water by the word. Okay? That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. Okay? 28 says, so, or in this manner, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Underline that, their own bodies, okay? He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever ate his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Underline that. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Praise the Lord. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So you see that Paul here uses the imagery of a wife and a husband to describe the relationship between Jesus and his church. Okay? Now from this text, we can find a few facts concerning the church. Now number one, Christ is the head of the church. Amen? Verse 23 tells us that, okay? He is the head of the church. Now, number two, the church is subject to Christ. You see that, verse 24 of that same chapter? Okay, subject to Christ. And number three, Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. You see that in verse 25. Now, do you observe that that word loved is in past tense? Amen? Now, does that mean that he stopped loving the church? Huh? Okay, you know, I've told you, ask questions, right? Reasonable questions as you read your Bible. Okay, so that Paul is not saying that at some point Christ stopped loving the church. No. Rather, Paul is pointing to a specific act in the past, okay, that showed us his love for us. Can I see you follow that? Okay, now what act? You see that the same verse tells us, verse 25. It says, and Kai, right? That is, right? Okay, he gave himself for her. Now, the word gave implies a sacrifice. Amen? Paradidomi in the Greek, which means to give over, to die. Okay? So, how Christ loved the church was by becoming a sacrifice for her. Do you see that there? Referring to his death for our sins. Do you get it? So, that's how he loved, past tense, the church. Do you follow that? Okay, thank you very much. Now, you see that the succeeding verses further explain the result of this sacrifice. See verses 26 to 27. Now, in those verses, the Apostle Paul uses the word that. Okay, ina in the Greek, H-I-N-A, three times. Okay, he uses it in those verses, verses 26 to 27. Now, that word is a conjunction of purpose. Amen? Some people say purpose. Okay, a conjunction of purpose, okay, to show the result of a verb, an action. Okay, now the verb would be gave, right? Paradidomi in verse 25. Okay, so that will show the result of gave. Do you get it? Okay, now, why did Jesus give? See verse 26. It says that, ina. Okay, so the result, right? Okay, he might sanctify. Underline that, sanctify, agiazo in the Greek, H-A-G-I-A-Z-O, the last O accentuated, which means to make holy, praise the Lord, okay, and cleanse, katarizo in the Greek, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O, which means to remove all filth, to purify from sin, cleanse out with the washing of the water by the word, okay, so this happened by the word, do you see that? The message of the gospel, the rhema. Okay, that's that word there, the rhema. Then see verse 27 of that same chapter. It says that, ina, okay, in the Greek, H-I-N-A, he might present her to himself a glorious church. Underline that, a glorious church. And doxos in the Greek. That is, a church in splendor, praise the Lord, free from sin. That's that word, okay? It says, not having spots. Underline that, not having spots. Spilos in the Greek. S-P-I-L-O-S. Which means faults or defects. Okay? Or wrinkle. Rutis in the Greek. R-H-U-T-I-S. That's wrinkle, okay? Which means flaw. Flaw, okay? Or any such thing. But that, ina, okay, she should be holy. That word is agios. Okay, holy, set apart, sacred, that's that word. And without blemish, underline that, without blemish, amomos in the Greek. A-M-O-M-O-S. Okay, which means blameless, faultless, unblameable. Praise the Lord. You see that there? So, these are the results of Christ's sacrifice. His work in redemption. He has perfected his church beyond reproach. Praise the Lord. You see that there? Okay. Now, Paul instructs husbands to love their wives with the same self-sacrificial love that Christ showed to us. Okay. See verse 28 of that same chapter. It says, so, or in the same manner. That's that word, so. Okay. Husbands ought to, underline that, ought to love their own wives as loves himself. You see that there? So Christ loved the church in his death, burial, and his resurrection. And he still does. Amen? Verse 29 shows us that. Let's see that, okay? Verse 29. It says, For no one ever ate his own flesh. You know, some people do today. Amen. But nourishes, on the line that nourishes, and cherishes, on the line that cherishes it, just as the Lord. Can we say does? Huh? Can we put those there? Okay, thank you. Just as the Lord does the church. Do you get it? Okay, so he cherishes the church, amen, in the present tense. Talpo in the Greek. That's that word there, okay? T-H-A-L-P-O, the last O accentuated, which means to foster, praise the Lord. Okay, you know, used elsewhere for the way a nursing mother cares for her children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Okay, and husbands are to learn from this love, praise the Lord. Okay, then number 4, facts you find there concerning the church. You see that then verses 30 to 33 show us that there is a union or identification between Christ and his church. Amen. They both exist as one. See verse 30 of that same chapter. It says, for we are members of his body, underline that, of his flesh, underline that, and of his bones, underline that, of his bones. Okay, 31 says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Underline that. One flesh. Now he's quoting here Genesis 2. Put your hand here, turn there. Make sure you put your hand here, okay? Then turn there. Genesis 2:21. Genesis 2:21. Now remember the story. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, underline that, from man, he made into a woman, underline that, made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now what? Bone of my bones, underline that, very key, and flesh of my flesh, underline that, okay? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man, underline that, okay? Out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Underline that. Be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. Underline that, okay? One flesh. Now, Paul calls this a mystery concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:32. Look at that, okay? It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, mystery means what needs an explanation, right? Musterion in the Greek, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Okay, a mystery is in an hidden form and needs to be made clear. That is a mystery. Okay, now most of the Old Testament, we've said, is called a mystery, right? Because it veils the gospel. Now what that means is that the gospel is found in the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Okay, you find the gospel there. Now I've told you that the gospel is not a new message, but that is the issue. Do you get it? So the same message in the New Testament is the same message in the Old. Do you follow that? The only difference is clarity. Do you get it? So the New Testament reveals something very important. Okay, Paul is hinting at the fact that both Adam and Eve were used by Moses as typologies. Amen? To teach the story of redemption. Now remember, I've told you that a type is any person, right? Thing, event, object, or place in the Old Testament that points to something in the New. Remember that? Okay, so the rule of the type is just like, right? Do you remember all of this? Just like so, right? That is the rule of the type. Okay, so just like, now look at this, Adam fell into a deep sleep. Actually, the Hebrew says a death sleep. You follow that? A sleep of death. So Jesus died. Do you follow that? Okay, but he did not stay dead. Praise the Lord. Just as Adam awakes from his death sleep, so does Jesus from death. Do you see that? Okay, so Adam is a type pointing to a future event. Do you see that? But notice that when both Adam and Eve are raised, they are no longer alone. Amen. Something came out of both of them, right? Come on. Now for Adam, it was a bride from his flesh, right? Now for Jesus, it is a bride in the spirit. Praise the Lord. The church. Okay, now Adam and Eve were united in the flesh. You know, Eve literally came out of Adam, right? They were one flesh. Now, same with Christ. He and his church are now one spirit. Praise the Lord. So, the church came out of his awakening, represents Jesus' resurrection. Praise the Lord. Do you see that? Now, just as Eve came out of her husband and they became one flesh, so the church came out of Christ at his resurrection, amen, and they became one spirit. Do you see that? So Moses actually was teaching salvation. Do you see that? In Genesis 2, using parables. So Moses is telling his readers that God will find a wife. Come on. Come on. God will find a bride who would be exactly like him. Come on. Come on. Okay. Now, this bride is the church of Christ. So, what Adam and Eve had as one flesh, the church has as one spirit with God. Praise the Lord. Okay. And that's why 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, but he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Underline that. One spirit. Okay. So, in Christ, God had a marriage. Amen. Say, in Christ, God had a marriage. So say, God. And that marriage is with the church. Do you follow this? So we are now in union with one another. Praise the Lord. Do you see that now? Okay. So we see that Christ's church is that which was born out of his death and his resurrection. Okay, we're giving birth to, we came out, we find our source in the death and resurrection of the Christ. Now, that death and resurrection were how he loved us. Do you get it now? Past tense. You see that Acts 20:28 says he purchased the church with his own blood. Let's see that, okay? Acts 20:28. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 20:28. It says, therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock. Okay, remember, he's talking to the Ephesian elders. Remember that? Okay, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So he calls them overseers. Amen. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Underline that, okay? Purchased with his own blood. Now, blood refers to his life. Okay, a synecdoche, right? Using the part for the whole. So this shows the value upon Christ's church. Do you see that? It is worth the very life of God. Praise the Lord. So, the church is very precious in God's sight. Do you see that now? It costs the very life of God. So, this is a strong footing to begin our study on the church and Christian meetings. Okay? Now, what exactly does the word church mean? What exactly? Now, you see that many times when people say church, they are referring to the physical structure, amen, or building where we meet for worship. Now, for us, that is your hotels, right? Okay? But that is incorrect. Amen? We can have a church building where we gather together, but it is erroneous to refer to that building itself as the church. Amen? Now, the word church translates the Greek word ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. A compound word, right? Which means you find two or more words in there. Okay? The first word in there is ek. E-K. Okay? Which means out from two. Remember that? Come on. Okay, so look at me. Out from two. That's that word ek, okay? Take something out of to another place. That's ek. Follow that? Okay? And the second word in there is kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Okay, K-A-L-E-O. The E accentuated. The O also accentuated, which means to call. Okay, so literally, you put that together, it means called out from to, right? Right? Okay, thank you. So, this word explains that you are going out of somewhere to somewhere else. Okay, can we say a change of location? Okay, thank you. Now, you see something similar to that, Colossians 1:12. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified, underline that, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, underline that, inheritance of the saints in the light. Underline that, okay? Saints in the light. So where are the saints? In the light. Can we say a place? Huh? Can we? A specific location? Can we say a spiritual reality? Can we say that? Okay. And look at 13. He explains further, okay? He says, he has delivered us, amen. Look at that word, delivered. Underline that, okay? From the power of darkness. Praise the Lord. Underline that. The power of darkness. And conveyed. Praise the Lord. Okay, underline that, conveyed or transferred. That's that word. To move from one place to another. Now it says us into where? The kingdom of the Son of His love. Underline that. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. Okay, so do you see a calling out to? Come on. Okay, so we are delivered, right, from the power of darkness. Now that is the calling out from, right? Then we are conveyed to the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now that's the two. Do you see that? So can we call this an ecclesia? Yes. So what makes the church is not a building. Okay? Although we meet in a building. We'll see that shortly. Amen? What makes the church are the men. Praise the Lord. The people or the individuals called out or delivered from this sinful world. Okay? That is the realm of sin. Who now belong to God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. So the word church primarily refers to men. Do you see that now? Okay, then where those men gather. Now you notice that that word ecclesia means a calling out to, right? Now this implies an assembly. Do you get it? So the ones called out meet somewhere. Do you follow that? Okay, so it speaks of a gathering or assembly. Now this word ecclesia is translated as assembly in Acts 19. Please turn there. Go around through now. Acts 19:32. Okay. It says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly, ecclesia, underline that, was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. Now see verse 39. Of that same chapter, it says, but if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. Underline that assembly, okay? Ecclesia in the Greek. Then verse 41 of that same chapter, verse 41, it says, and when he has said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Underline that assembly, okay? Ecclesia. Now you see that its usages here actually refer to a secular gathering, religious gathering, but it helps drive home our point. What is that point? An ecclesia is a people assembled. Do you see that there? A people gathered. So you are not just called out, but called out to a people. That is an ecclesia. Do you follow that? A gathering of individuals. So there is such a thing as coming together. Amen. See 1 Corinthians 14:26. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Okay, it says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, say each of you, okay, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, amen, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now that phrase comes together, used here, it translates the Greek word sunekomai. Remember that word? Okay, sunekomai, Paul's sunekomai, which means to assemble as one. Okay, to assemble as one. So those who have been called out from the realm of sin now gather together in a place. Now that is church. Do you see that? So this implies a place, a physical location. So while the church is not the venue, don't fall into that error of now saying that, okay, I am the church. Okay, therefore, I don't need to gather with other Christians. You know, there are people who say that today. Amen. So you see one person say, I'm the church. Just you. Say, I'm the church. Okay, therefore, I don't need to gather with anyone. You know, that is erroneous. Amen. The church meets. Do you get it? They meet. They gather together. Do you get it? They assemble. Look at Acts 2:44. Acts 2:44. Okay? It says, now all who believed were together. Underline that. Come on, do you see that? Where what? In their rooms. Huh? Saying, I'm the church. They were together, okay? So there is nothing like a Christian in isolation. Okay, we'll see that shortly. And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord, underline that, one accord, okay, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, underline that, house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So you see that the early church had church meetings in houses. Do you see that there? They gathered at specific locations. So you could point to a venue, right? Right? Okay, this is where the church meets. You could point to a particular place. Look at Acts 8:1. Okay, Acts 8:1. It says, now Saul was consenting to his death, that's Stephen, okay? At that time, a great persecution arose against what? The church which was at Jerusalem. Underline that. The church which was at Jerusalem, okay? Or you can say, the church which met at Jerusalem. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So here you find the church at Jerusalem, a place. Amen? Gathered together. You see that Acts 11:22 mentions the church in Jerusalem again. Let's see that, okay? Acts 11:22. It says, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Underline that. The church in Jerusalem, okay? And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. You see that? So, the church at Jerusalem. A specific location. Amen. A specific place. You see that Romans 1 mentions the church at Rome. Okay, or the saints at Rome. Please turn there, okay? Romans 1:7. Romans 1:7, okay? It says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You see that? Underline all who are in Rome. So we see the saints at Rome, amen? A place that the church venue, the church location. Now, Romans 16:1, speak, let's see that. Romans 16:1, it says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Chantria. Underline that. Church in Chantria. Romans 16:5 mentions the church that was in Priscilla and Aquila's house. Let's see that, okay? Romans 16:5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So you see that the church met at the home of Priscilla and Aquila. You see that there? Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 16:19 mentions this same church. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Amen. Okay. Actually mentions two churches. It says the churches of Asia greet you. Underline that. Churches of Asia. So where would you find these churches? In Asia, right? Asia Minor. A specific location. Okay. It says Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. With the church that is in their house. Underline that, okay? Church that is in their house. Okay? Now you see that 1 Corinthians 1:2 mentions the church at Corinth. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:2. Now it says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1:1. Also makes reference to the same church. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Please show there. It says, the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. You see that there? A specific location. 1 Corinthians 16:1 speaks of the churches of Galatia. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 16:1. 1 Corinthians 16:1, okay? It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given orders to the church, I underline that, churches of Galatia, so you must do also. So that's a group of churches in a particular geographical location, right? Galatia. Then Ephesians 1:1 says, to the saints who are in Ephesus. So you see, a given place, right? Right? Okay, Philippians 1:1 says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. So you see a given location? Amen. It's shown there. See Colossians 1:2. Colossians 1:2, okay? It says, the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. A given place? Huh? Okay. Then Colossians 4:16 speaks of the church of the Laodiceans. Colossians 4:16. It says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:1 speaks of the church of the Thessalonians. Let's see that, okay? It speaks of the church of the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, it says, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is a specific location. Amen. That is not in the spirit. Do you see that? You could point to the church venue. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 1:1 repeats. It says, to the church of the Thessalonians. Amen. Referring to that same church at Thessalonica. You see that Timothy was a young pastor who pastored the churches at Ephesus, right? See 1 Timothy 1:3. 1 Timothy 1:3. We are told by Bible scholars, some people say it was 18. Amen. Some people say it was 16. Praise the Lord. Okay. And he was a pastor. Amen. Amen. Okay. So at the end of the day, spiritual maturity is what it takes. Amen. To oversee, not age. Praise the Lord. Okay. So see 1 Timothy 1:3. He says, and I urged you. Now that's Timothy. Okay. When I came into Macedonia. Now look at this. Remain in Ephesus. Underline that. Remain in Ephesus. Now that is his ministry base. Amen. Where his churches were located. Do you follow that? That you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So Timothy pastored at Ephesus. Do you see that there? Timothy was not an online pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know. Oh Lord, my God. That is a recent development in present days. You see a young man on Facebook, amen, posting doctrine. He claims he has church members on Facebook. Oh Lord, my God. Hello, Sam. Come off your delusions quickly. Amen. Timothy pastored at where? Ephesus. He had an assembly. Praise the Lord. Amen. A local church. You see that Philemon 2 mentions the church in Philemon's house. Okay, you see that in Philemon 2, okay, the church in Philemon's house, that is, they met there. So, a given location, right, you could point to it, a gathering of the saints. You see that Revelation 2 and 3 mentions seven churches in Asia Minor. Okay, in Asia Minor. Now, let's run through that quickly. Revelation 2:1 speaks of the church of Ephesus, who had left their first love. You see that in verse 4 of that same chapter, okay, Revelation 2. Now, in Revelation 2:8, you find the church in Smyrna. Now, this church was commended for staying through even in the face of persecution. See that in verse 9 of that same chapter. Okay, Revelation 2:9. Then, Revelation 2:12, it speaks of or it mentions the church in Pergamos. Okay, that's another location. Amen. Who were steadfast in defending sound doctrine. See that in verses 14 to 15. Then Revelation 2:18 addresses the church in Thyatira. Okay, who also had issues with false doctrine. Amen. You see that in verse 20 of that same chapter. Then Revelation 3:1 speaks of the church in Sardis. Now this church were not found perfect in their works. You see that verses 1 to 2 of that same chapter. Then Revelation 3:7-10, it commends the church in Philadelphia. Okay, for being faithful. Then lastly, Revelation 3:14 mentions the church of the Laodiceans. Now these folks were neither cold nor hot. Amen. They are called neither cool nor hot. You see that verses 15 to 16. Remember what that means? Okay? That means they had no benefit. Amen? Whatsoever. So cold and hot in this context is advantageous. Amen? It speaks of benefit. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, these all refer to specific locations where Christians met. Do you follow that? So it will mention the church here, right? The saints there, right? Okay? Now, this is where the idea of a local church came from. Okay? A local church is a church that you attend in your locale. Amen? Your location. So, you know, it will be funny today to say that I am the church. Amen? Therefore, I don't need to gather with other Christians. You know, it would be funny to say that, right? I might even add ridiculous. Amen? The pattern we find in the New Testament says otherwise. Christians meet and they do so very often. What did I say? Christians meet and they do so very often. Say it again. Say Christians meet and they do so very often. Praise the Lord. Okay, Acts 2:46, it says of the early Christians, okay, that they continued daily. Think about that. With one accord in the temple. You know what that means? That means they met every day. Think about that. Every single day. Even today, they say, now we keep Jesus. Every single day. Okay? So, the church meets. Praise the Lord. You see that there now? Okay? Now, you note that that word ecclesia also appears in the Septuagint. I know that is the Greek version of the Old Testament, right? Okay? Now, and it is used for an assembly in the Septuagint. Okay, that word ecclesia is used for an assembly in the Septuagint. Now, I'll give you references for that. You see that Deuteronomy 18:16, 2 Chronicles 30:23. Okay? 2 Chronicles 30:23, Psalm 22:22. Okay? 2:2:2:2. Then Psalm 107:32. Now, assembly in these texts are translated as ecclesia in the Septuagint. Now, the Hebrew equivalent of the word ecclesia would be kahal. Remember that word? Kahal, which means a convocation or congregation. Okay? An organized body of people. So, the word church was used to describe God's people, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. Do you follow that? Okay, now you see that in Acts 7:38, Stephen mentions the church in the wilderness. Now, what is he referring to? Let's see that. Acts 7:38, please turn your Bible there. Acts 7:38, please turn your Bible there quickly. Acts 7:38. It says, this is he who was in the congregation or church. That's that word. Ecclesia. Okay? In the wilderness. Do you see that? So, he mentions the church in the wilderness. Okay? Now, it says, with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with our fathers. Underline that. With our fathers. Okay? The one who received the living oracles to give to us. So, you see that the word ecclesia is used here for the assembly of Israel in the wilderness. Do you follow that? Remember that word ecclesia means to be called out from a place, right? To another place. Now for Israel, they were called out or assembled out of Egypt. Do you get it? Into the promised land. So that is their ecclesia. Do you get it? A calling out to. Now of course, this was a typology to explain salvation. Now I want you to pay very close attention to this, okay? Egypt would be a type of the world. Do you follow that? A type of the world in sin. Or you can say the world of sin. Now the promised land in the Old Testament would be a type of God's kingdom. Do you follow that? So the Exodus teaches salvation in a figure. Okay? How we're called out of the world of sin, typified by Egypt, into the land God promised in Christ. Okay? His church. Praise the Lord. So, in Christ, we are now in God's promised land. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at how the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 12:22. Okay? Hebrews 12:22. It says, but you have come. Say, we've come. Say, we've come. Come on, say, we've come. Say, we've come. Say, we've come. Say it again, we've come. Come on. Praise the Lord. So we are not going there. So we are not going there. We are there already. Praise the Lord. Okay, it says Mount Zion, praise the Lord, and to the city of the living God. It says the heavenly Jerusalem, not earthly. Amen. Remember, Jerusalem would be the promised land, right? Of the road. Amen. Do you see this? Okay, it says to an innumerable company of angels. Okay, to the general assembly. Underline that, general assembly, okay? And, or that is, right? The church of the firstborn. Underline that. Church of the firstborn. Who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Do you see that? So, the church of the firstborn is the true promised land of God. Do you see that there? Do you see that there? So, the church in the wilderness was to point to the church in Christ. Amen. So it will be a type. Do you see that now? So just as Israel left Egypt, amen, into the promised land in Christ, we leave the world of sin, amen, into his church. Do you follow that? A type in the Exodus. But you know something about the type? A type is a shadow. Amen. It's not real. I use this illustration. Imagine you go to a restaurant and you order for chicken and they say, here's a shadow. They put the chicken on the light, then they make sure the light, the shadow cast on your table and say, oh yeah, eat. That is the Old Testament. Do you get it? A shadow, a type. But the reality will be found where? In the New Testament, right? So you can say the chicken is in the New Testament. Do you follow that? Okay, that would be the reality found in Christ. So that would mean that what the church of Christ provides would be better than the church in the wilderness. Do you follow that? So we find two churches, right? Do you follow this? Are you sure? Okay, so you find two churches. The church in the wilderness, right? And the church of Christ. Now one is a type, right? Then one is the reality. Now what you find in the reality or the antitype, right? Will be greater or better than the type. Now, what is the distinction? Now, you notice that the church in the wilderness comprised of only Jews. Right? The Jewish fathers. But in the New Testament, the church of Christ welcomes all men. Praise the Lord. All men, both Jew and Gentile. Okay, see Ephesians 2:12. Ephesians 2:12. Okay, it says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. Now, who are those? The circumcision? The Jews, okay, thank you, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, underline that time, you were without Christ, referring to the Gentiles, underline without Christ, okay, being aliens, underline aliens, not Benton, amen, aliens means strangers, who, okay, you know, it's good for us to clarify, because you know, you entered first century, you know, into the first century, vampire is a good thing, so it's very, just clarify, because when you say vampire, somebody is thinking of Twilight. No, not all that. Okay, so being aliens, that is strangers, okay, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers. So you see, he explains for that. You see that? Underline strangers, okay, from the covenant of promise. Underline that, covenant of promise. Having no hope and without God, underline that, without God in the world. Look at 13. But now, praise the Lord. I really love when Paul says but. You know he's about to say, it will sweet belly. He always says something good. Amen. You know, today when people say, but, you are saved, but, you are righteous, but, you are sanctified, but, always something negative. But once Paul says, but, come on, look at this. He says, in Christ Jesus, amen, you who were once far off, that is the Gentiles, okay, have been brought near, praise the Lord. Come on. See that? Online brought near by the blood, can we say sacrifice? Okay, of Christ. Underline that. Blood of Christ. Okay, so by his blood, the Gentiles, that is, the uncircumcised, now have a place in his church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at how Paul says this. Galatians 3:26. Please turn your Bible there. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Say, "I am a son of God." Praise the Lord. Look at 27. It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." 28 says, "There is neither one Jew nor Greek." Underline that. Praise the Lord. Okay, Jew or Greek. "There is neither slave nor free." Underline that. Neither slave nor free. "There's neither male nor female." Praise the Lord. "For you are all one." Underline that. "All one in Christ Jesus." So Christ's church does not discriminate based on ethnicity. Do you see that? We are all one in his church, irrespective of our tribe or our tongue. Praise the Lord. So in Christ's church, both Jews and Gentiles are welcome, not just the Jews alone. Now you notice we keep saying Christ church, right? Christ church. Now we call it Christ church because actually he built or founded the church. Amen. He built or founded his church. See Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Matthew 16:18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Underline that. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Okay, so Jesus promises to build his church on this rock. Now the question is, what rock? Now, have you heard some people say that this rock here refers to Peter? I remember I've heard that before. That is Peter here. You know, Peter means rock. And you know that Jesus actually gave Peter that name, right? Here. His real name was Simon, the son of Jonah. You see that verse 17 tells us that, okay? Simon bar Jonah. Okay, so you see that some people now say here that Jesus was saying that Peter would be the first pope. Okay, so on Peter, I will build my church. Now that is reading into the text. What's that called? Bible interpretation? Exegesis. Thank you very much. Okay, now let's perform an exegesis on the text. Are you ready? Okay, thank you. Now the Jews were familiar with the imagery of the rock. Amen. You see that Yahweh in the Old Testament was often called a rock. See Deuteronomy 32, for example. Deuteronomy 32, 3. Deuteronomy 32, 3 to 4. It says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Is the rock." Underline that. The rock. Now, not Dwayne Johnson. You know, it's always good to clarify. Do you get? It's always in the 21st century. Amen. Okay. So when it says it's a rock, you see a big guy. A man with muscles. Hold on. "His work is perfect." Amen. "From all his ways are justice." Amen. Amen. "A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." You see that verse 15 of that same chapter calls him the rock of his salvation. Okay, verse 15. It says, "The rock of his salvation." Now that's referring to Jezreel. Amen. That is another name for Israel. Okay, Jezreel. So he's the rock of Jezreel's salvation. Amen. Then in 2 Samuel 23 verse 3, he's called the rock of Israel. Let's see that, okay? The rock of Israel. 2 Samuel 23 verse 3. 2 Samuel 23 verse 3. 2 Samuel 23 verse 3. It says, "The God of Israel, the rock of Israel," underline that, "the rock of Israel said to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Okay, then same with Psalm 78 verse 35. Please turn there. Psalm 78 verse 35. says, then they remembered that God was their rock. Underline that. And the Most High God, their Redeemer. So Yahweh is called the rock in the Old Testament. Is this clear so far? Is this clear so far? Okay. Now, Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh. Do you follow that? See 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay, I want you to see this. Please turn there. 1 Timothy 3:16. I wait for you. Please turn there. 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay? It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It says God. Now can we say God, who is the rock? Huh? Okay, was manifested in the flesh. Underline that. Was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Now that is referring to the Christ. Are you following that? Now see John 1:1. Okay, it says similarly there. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Underline that. The Word was God. Now see verse 14 of that same chapter. It says, and the Word, can we say who is God? Okay, became what? Flesh. Underline that. Became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this describes Jesus the Christ. Amen. Verse 18 says about him that he has revealed the Father. See that, verse 18 of that same chapter. Verse 18, it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared, okay, or revealed or explained him. That's that word, okay? You see that? Now, how can he reveal the Father? How can he declare the Father? How can he explain the Father? Because he is the Father. Come on. Come on. Come on. So, Jesus is God that became a man to explain himself to men. Do you see that? So, he reveals the Father because he is the Father who became a man. Do you follow that? So, can we say Yahweh of the Old Testament, who is the rock, huh? Is Jesus. Can we say that? Okay, thank you. Then it is therefore no surprise that Jesus referred to himself as the rock. Matthew 16:18. Do you get it now? Come on, do you get it now? Okay, you see that Paul does similarly. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. See that? That followed them. And what? That rock was who? Christ. Underline that. That rock was Christ. Also in Ephesians 2:20. Turn there. Ephesians 2:20. Okay. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and or Kai, right? So you can say the apostles who are prophets, amen, that is those who spoke by the Spirit. Those are prophets, okay? Those inspired to speak. So the apostles here are called prophets, amen. It says, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Underline that. The chief cornerstone. Now, what does built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets mean? What does it mean? Now, observe that it doesn't say that the apostles were the foundation of the church, right? Rather, it says the church is built on their foundation. Did you spot that? Now, pay attention to this. What is Paul referring to here? He explains in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Please turn there. Because, you know, there are some people that just believe that the foundation of the church are the apostles. So let's clear that today. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:9. Some people say it's Peter. Some people say it's Paul. 1 Peter 3:9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Now it says you, that is the church, are God's building. And look at 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Now, grace here, salvation, or a special gifting for ministry. The long answer is always correct, yeah? Okay. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Underline that. I have laid the foundation. Does it say I'm the foundation? Come on. Okay. And another builds on it. Underline that. Builds on it. Okay. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Underline that. How he builds on it. Okay. Now look at 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Which is what? Christ Jesus. Underline that. Which is Christ Jesus. So, who is the foundation of the church? Christ Jesus or the apostles? Christ Jesus. Okay, now what is Paul referring to here? He says, I've laid the foundation. Now, he's referring to the doctrinal foundation of the church. Do you follow that? Teaching. That is the foundation of the apostles. Teaching. So, what does this mean? It simply tells us that God revealed the gospel to the apostles. Amen? He gave the apostles what would form the foundational truths of the church. And that is why you see that often amongst our theologians, they are called the foundational apostles. Amen? Amen? Everything that the church was supposed to believe was revealed to them. Then they wrote it down in Romans to Jude. See how Paul says this, Ephesians 3. Please turn there. Ephesians 3:1. Ephesians 3:1. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation, underline that dispensation, of the grace of God, which was given to me, underline that, given to me, for you. And look at 3. How that by revelation, underline that, revelation, he made known to me, underline that, made known to me, okay, the mystery, underline that, the mystery. Now what's that? Mystery. The gospel, right? Hidden in the Old Testament. Okay? As I have briefly written already. Now, where? Huh? If Paul says I've written, where will you find it? The epistles. Thank you very much. Underline that, okay? I have briefly written already. Now, look at 4. By which, when you read, underline that, when you read, can you say the epistles? Okay? You may understand, underline that, you may understand my knowledge, underline knowledge, in the mystery of Christ. Underline that, mystery of Christ. So, all that the church is to know about God was given to the apostles. Do you see that there? And they wrote it down. Their teachings then come together to form the doctrinal foundation of Christ's church today. Do you follow that? Now, you see that the book of Revelation also refers to these foundational apostles using metaphors. Okay, the book of Revelation speaks of the foundational apostles using metaphors. Now see Revelation 21:14. Please, I beg of you, when you read the book of Revelation, I beg of you, don't be literal at all. Amen? It's a book laden in symbolism. Do you follow that? So much symbolism. Okay, you know what John did? He went to the Old Testament, amen? He found symbols that speak of salvation, amen? And then he used those symbols to teach salvation in Revelation. So actually, how do I say this now? To understand Revelation, you need to understand Genesis to Malachi. Not even the epistles. You know what I don't say? So you see, it is voila. If you hate Genesis to Malachi, you can't understand Revelation. Amen? Revelation is the Old Testament. I trust God that one day we'll look at it. I trust God. I trust God. There is so much to look at. I don't see that happening in the next 5-10 years, amen, but we will. Amen. Revelation is Genesis to Malachi. Just understand that. Do you get it? So once you can understand the symbolisms borrowed from the Old Testament, you can decode Revelation. Amen. And that's why some people go there and make a mess, because they've not understood the Old Testament. Now see Revelation 21:14. It says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Underline that, 12 foundations. Okay, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Underline that. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, now you see that the foundational apostles are called apostles of the Lamb, right? Okay, and here they are also described as the 12 foundations of the city. Do you see that there? Okay, so that means that these apostles were responsible for the doctrinal foundation of Christ Church. Do you follow that? That is what 12 foundation there means. You get it? They are responsible for the doctrinal foundation. Do you get that? Doctrinal foundation. I didn't say they are the foundation. Do you follow that? But the doctrine, they are responsible for that. Do you follow that? Jesus Christ himself gave them that responsibility. So that is what John is saying here, using metaphors. So you see, he uses 12 foundations. Amen. Doesn't mean that, you know, some people say when you get to heaven, you find that the city of God has 12 foundations. You see again? Aha. You see the issue? Just leave Revelation. Please, I beg of you. Leave it. Sir, please leave it. Just leave it alone. Okay? Focus on Genesis, Malachi. Understand the epistles. Okay? Just leave it for now. So that you don't make a mess. Ah! So people say, there's just one, there's a man that will come and give you a mark. You know, you can't buy rice and beans without that mark. All from Revelation, oh, that there is a mystery of 666. Did I tell you what that means? Ah, you put your hand on your head. You say, ah! You say, hey! I'll tell you one day. 666, said the mark of the beast. Sure. Amen? So here, the 12 foundations will refer to what? The apostles. Primarily, their teaching. Do you follow that? So, the apostles laid the doctrinal foundation for the church. Amen. But they are not the foundation. Amen. The foundation is Christ. Do you follow that? And that is why the rock, Matthew 16:18, cannot be referring to Peter. Amen. Yahweh has always been the rock, right? Not man. Right from the Old Testament, the Tanakh. Okay, so Peter is not the rock of Christ Church. Christ is that rock. Do you follow that? So what then is Matthew 16:18 saying? Now go back there. Okay, Matthew 16:18. Now going back to the Greek will help us. Okay, now you see that Jesus actually used two different Greek words for Peter, okay, which means stone, and the second phrase, upon this rock. Do you follow that? It uses two different Greek words. Now, the word Peter translates the Greek Petros. P-E-T-R-O-S. Petros. Which means a small stone. Okay? One usually found on a pathway. Did you get that? One usually found on a pathway. Okay? Now, when Jesus says, and on this rock I will build my church, he uses another Greek word. It's the word Petra. P-E-T-R-A. Now that is the feminine form of Petros. Now Petra refers to a cliff or a boulder. Do you get it? It's a stone, but it's much more larger than Petros. Do you get it? A stone larger than Petros. So the Greek literally says, let me read the Greek to you. And I also say to you that you are a small stone. Literally. Do you follow that? What's that word? Petros. Thank you. And on this Petra, do you get it? This large cliff, I will build my church. Now the word end there, chi in the Greek, could also mean moreover. Okay, it doesn't always mean that is, amen. It could also mean moreover. So we can read the text this way. And I also say to you, that is Peter, right? Right? Okay, you are a small stone. Moreover, or furthermore, on this large cliff, I will build my church. Now, did you spot that? Obviously, Jesus is making a contrast, right? Between Peter and himself. Come on, did you spot that? So, Peter is the small stone, right? While Jesus is the large cliff. Do you follow that now? Okay? Upon which his church will be built. Come on, do you see that there? Okay? Now, the question is, why did he call Peter a stone? Why? Now, you see that the antecedent text tells us. See verses 13 to 14, Matthew 16. Okay, verses 13 to 14. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Underline men, okay? Underline am. Look at 14. So they said, some say, underline that, some say, John the Baptist, some Elijah, underline that, some Elijah, and others, underline and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So can we say that the people had an unstable opinion about Jesus? Can we say that? Okay, let's see verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Do you follow that? And look at 16. Simon Peter answered, underline that, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that is son of Jonah, okay? That's his father's name, his son name, okay? For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, because of verse 17, then verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, a stone. Do you follow that? So verse 18 was said because of verse 17. Now, the word stone, Petros, in the Jewish thought, was used to describe what is firm. Okay? Rigid or unchanging. Firm, rigid, or unchanging. Okay? So, Jesus calls Peter firm because, unlike the people, Peter's opinion of him was stable. Can I see if you follow that now? It was firm. Do you see that? So, Peter's opinion of Jesus remained the same. You know, the people had diverse opinions, right? Can't say they were not stable, okay? They were not firm, okay? But Peter was firm in his opinion of Jesus the Christ. He saw him as the Son of God, irrespective of what others were saying. His opinion was rigid, can we say? Unchanging, can we say? Firm, can we say? Just like a stone. Do you see that now? Okay, so he's called a stone because his opinion of Jesus did not fluctuate. Amen. So Jesus called Simon Peter, that is a stone, as a metaphor. Okay, because of his opinion about him. Not that Peter is the foundation or the rock upon which the church will be built. Can I see if you follow that? Do you see that now? Okay, we've already seen that Jesus, who is Yahweh in the flesh, is that rock, right? The Petra, amen, right? That large cliff or boulder upon which the church will be built. Do you see that now? Okay, so Peter, an apostle, would help to lay the foundation. Do you follow that? He is not the foundation, but it would help lay the foundation. That is, it would teach concerning Jesus the Christ. But the foundation itself would be Christ Jesus. Do you see that now? Hallelujah. Okay, some people will say, but Jesus said, and on this rock I will build my church. Okay, he says, on this rock. Therefore, he must have been referring to Peter. Right? It seems like that, right? But observe that that is not the only instance where Jesus spoke this way. See John 6:58. So some people just feel that because you said you're Peter and on this rock, they feel he's referring to Simon. Now let's see John 6:58. Jesus speaks this way very often. John 6:58. Are you there? Okay, he says this, underline that, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread, underline that, this bread, will live forever. Now, he uses this, but is referring to himself. Come on. Come on. Do you see that there? He refers to himself as this. Same with John 2:19. John 2:19. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple. Underline this, okay? And in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now, in these instances, the word this refers to the speaker himself. Do you see that? So, in Matthew 16:18, when it says, and on this rock, he's referring to himself. Is that clear? Is that clear? Jesus speaks that way. Do you see that now? You know, if Jesus were referring to Peter, he would have said, you are Petros, and on this Petros, I'll build my church. Right? Or you say, you are Petros, and on you, I will build my church. But he doesn't. Amen? So, Christ's church would not be built or founded on men. Praise the Lord. but on Christ himself. Do you see that now? Is that clear? Matthew 16:18, is it clear now? Okay, so Christ himself built his church. Now, how does he do so? Matthew 16:18 tells us, as we begin to close now, okay, go back there. Matthew 16:18, it says, and Kairai, that is, right, the gates of Hades. Now, Hades means the grave. Okay, the grave shall not prevail against it. So, Christ built his church by loving his church. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, right? Now, that love speaks of his sacrifice, we said, right? Okay, so he began building his church by dying for us. Do you follow that? But the gates of Hades, that is the grave, would not prevail against it. That is the building. Now, gates refer to power in the Jewish thought. So when he says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, he's actually saying the power of the grave will not prevail against it. That is his building. Do you follow that? So Jesus is building something, right? Let me reiterate. He's building something, right? What is that? What's the building? His church. Okay. Where's he building it from? The grave. Right? Okay. Now, in building his church, he says that grave won't stop his building. Do you follow that? Do you follow that? Now, what would that refer to? The resurrection. Do you follow that? And praise God, the grave did not. Amen. 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 He was raised from the dead. Do you see that? So the power of death could not stop his building. Do you follow that? Now, that is how Christ built or established his church. So just like Adam received his bride from the sleep of death, he builds or establishes his church from his death and his resurrection. Praise the Lord. Now, Peter couldn't do this. Amen. The apostles couldn't do this. Only Jesus could. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the apostles laid the doctrinal foundation for the church. Amen. What the church was to believe. But only Jesus Christ himself is the foundation. Praise the Lord. He is the rock. Amen. They were only able to do so because Jesus himself authorized them to. Do you follow that? Jesus remains the head of his church. Do you see that now? So he is the rock. Amen. Amen. Say Jesus is the rock of his church. Say Jesus is the foundation of his church. Say Jesus is the head of his church. And he remains so even today. Praise the Lord. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We continue from here. Thank you.